The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode number 12 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is Yuriko Morita, founder of Patents Integrated and IP Fact Scout, and board member for Glider. We touch on several topics, including the importance of safeguarding your intellectual property, her role at Glider, and exciting advances in youth entrepreneurship. Hi.
Hi.
When did you arrive in Boulder?
I arrived in Boulder in 1994.
And what brought you here?
Graduate school. And then you live here and you really can't imagine living anywhere else.
Do you have tech experience? Like actual, are you a coder or do you have that sort of experience?
So I came here for a PhD program. So I started off in physics and graduated in electrical engineering. So I've done my share of coding and clean room work and laser work and that kind of things. I am not a developer in that sense, but I can, you know, work my way around code if necessary. Other people are much better at it than I am.
What would your job entail? Currently, you've got these two companies that you founded. Mm-hmm. Are you still working on those companies?
Yes. So the first company, Patents Integrated, I started 4 years ago as a consulting business. Since I got my PhD, I did some work in education, but most of the time I've been doing intellectual property law. So during that time, you know, I've amassed a lot of experience, worked for a lot of other people, and decided to focus my practice on working with entrepreneurs and startup companies that are right here in Colorado. So that's who my primary clients are for my Patents Integrated business. And then I realized that there are things that I do in that business that people pay me to do that can easily be automated. So there are certain things in, for example, if a company is getting ready for intellectual property due diligence with an investor, they're getting ready to take money or they're getting questions from investors about their intellectual property. There are certain mechanical things that I do when I'm asked to do that. And then I realize, well, I'm just going through the same steps every time for each of these companies. If I were to automate this process, it's just a matter of, you know, building some APIs into existing databases. I can automatically pull that information and my clients can help themselves. So that was the origin of IP Fact Scout.
Which is the other company.
Which is the second company I founded. So I started that company. It was officially incorporated in January of this year. I did pursue it through the Founder Institute program in Denver. So did that for 3 months and incorporated. And I've been working on it since as well.
Being situated here on the Front Range where there's so much tech and startup activity, business must be pretty good.
Where I fit in really well for my consulting business, for the Patents Integrated business, is for a company that is getting ready to raise that seed or getting ready to raise that A. Because after that, they can usually hire people in themselves. But it's for that cash strap, you know, I've got a great idea and I need somebody to help me protect it before I start telling the world about it. That's where I fit in really well for that business. And then on the IP Fact Scout side, it's those same people, but it's a little different scenario in that they, for example, if you're asking investors for money, everybody's going to ask you a question about, so what's your intellectual property strategy? What's your IP like? Do you have an IP portfolio? How are you protecting your idea? Anything about your competitive advantage? So that's where I can help those people as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I believe you're also involved with Glider.
I am.
And tell us about Glider.
So I guess technically I'm a founder there as well. So I'm one of the five team members that got together and decided, you know what? we need to grow up a little bit as an organization, because Boulder Startup Week, this is our 9th year. We have Ignite Boulder that's been going on for just as long, and TEDx Boulder. These were all Andrew Hyde founded companies, or not even companies, they're entities. And we've all collaborated, but we felt that there are synergies that we can exploit if we were to bring these three entities together and really make a year-round organization out of it, so that we can make a smooth transition from this event to that event and just bring the community together synergistically. So with that, I am on the board. So I'm, as one of the five founders, I'm on the board. I'm the board secretary.
And Glider is a nonprofit, correct?
Glider just got nonprofit status a few weeks ago. We're so excited about it because we applied back in the fall. We are putting the word out, and we're starting to apply for grants. And we hope that it'll make it much more efficient for us to be able to bring the community together. That's the intent.
First and foremost, congratulations getting that 501c3.
Oh, yes.
Why did Glider choose the nonprofit route? All three of the events you mentioned, TEDx Boulder, Ignite, and Startup Week, could be very profitable if they chose to be, I would imagine.
That's an interesting question. We've never thought about it. So I've been most heavily involved with Boulder Startup Week. And the intent of that enterprise is to give back to the community. And no one's looking to get rich off of this, really. That's not our intent. We want to bring the community together in terms of our community learning from each other, as well as just being together and celebrating each other for a week. So we never considered not being a nonprofit. That's an interesting question. Even for Ignite, for example, we've always given back. We find sponsor money to fund the event. And if there's anything left over, we've always said, just tell us of a worthy cause, and we're happy to donate any of those leftover proceeds because we want to support others in the community.
Well, I think that that seems perfectly natural based on just my experiences of living in Boulder for a long time, but also in conducting a dozen interviews or so far this week. And absolutely the unifying thread through all of it is that the Boulder tech and startup community, the thing that makes it unique is its openness, its accessibility, and this give first, give back attitude. And I find it refreshing, first and foremost, because, well, the opposite, it sounds terrifying. but also, it's fascinating to me, because as someone who's lived in Boulder a long time, I think that, you know, Boulder, for as long as I've been here, has been known as this sort of freewheeling, laid back kind of countercultural community. And there's still traces of that, but it's really now, I think, it's become a tech community. And it's interesting to me in that maybe that's what this countercultural communal feeling has been carried into the tech community in this way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I got a bit of a criticism about Boulder Startup Week. Just last night, I was having a conversation with one of the attendees, and she said, you know, one thing that I did notice this year is that I think we've lost some of the fun. We used to have the office chair races, and we used to have hikes, bike rides, some of those. No, she said, I feel like some of that has gone away. Well, there are logistical reasons for not having some of those, because the last 3 years we've had snow during Boulder Startup Week. So we've had to cancel a bunch of those fun events in the past. And also, I think it shows how the tech community here has grown up a bit. And it's not just tech community here. I think the tech community as a whole has become more disciplined because we need to be. For example, I was joking with somebody just yesterday that it seems like every other person that I talk to who is a developer is either going into blockchain or cannabis, one of those two. And there's so much hype and money in both of those industries right now, partly because of political climate, partly because of, you know, just the way that the tech area is trending. But I think people have learned from the example of the dot-com bubble. You know, I'm old enough to have have been around when people were getting laid off and friends were losing jobs in 2000, 2001, and things happened in the recession in 2008. I think people are learning that in order to have a viable business, in any business, it can be a tech startup, whatever it is, you have to have that business foundation. And those are the sessions that are the most popular right now, as well as some of the personal stories. But I think that's a more of a bolder bent to the event. But I think the person that I was talking to last night who was criticizing the event, I think she's right. And I think that's okay. That we as a Boulder tech community is growing up.
As a woman who works in the tech community, mm-hmm. do you see more women coming into the community here in Boulder? Is it getting better? Is it opening? What are challenges you've heard about or faced yourself?
I was a physics major in college. I went to a very small school. So of my class of, I think, 14, three of us were female. And of that group, we're all still in the tech industry one way or the other. So that was a start. So this is 25 years ago. And what I think what I've seen, and especially in the past year, there's a lot more of an awareness of how women see tech differently and how women see the tech culture differently. So there are things like the stereotypical bro culture, I guess, of two guys and a dog starting their business in a garage or a basement and then getting investment money and growing that to a big office space with a ping pong table and a kegger every night. That doesn't fly with women. That doesn't work. And I think there's a lot more awareness that that doesn't work for everyone. I think that's really encouraging. So it's a conversation starter. In fact, it's not just a conversation starter. I think people are finally starting to do something about it. And that's part of the Boulder tech community growing up. And not just anybody coming out of college or even dropping out of high school can start a business, sure. But in order to make a lasting business that can impact the world, you have to have some level of discipline and you have to have diversity in perspectives and views and you have to be inclusive. So all of these are conversations that people are having now and doing something about it.
As someone who's been in Boulder now for over 20 years, you've seen a lot of change here. Do you have any thoughts about tech's role in that change? There's certainly been friction points between the old school Boulderites and the new school Boulderites. It was really interesting speaking with Andrew Hyde. He was saying that it was sort of the pre-flood Boulder and the post-flood Boulder, the flood of 2013, uh-huh. of course, uh-huh. and how the flood and the reconstruction that followed really led to some big changes and created a divide in some ways between the people who have been here forever and this new community coming in. What do you think about tech's role just in the future of Boulder?
So when I first moved here, Rock Creek, the town of Superior, didn't exist. And those early days, so in the late 90s, they built the Interlochen complex in Broomfield. And that drew the initial wave of the tech companies, the big ones, into this area. And that has led to the building of all of these apartment complexes between, so everything got filled in between Broomfield and Boulder now. Like you drive on Highway 36, there is no break in housing where there used to be. So that's the initial wave that I remember. And then since then, I think that there's been a lot more awareness at the city council level, for example, of how to keep Boulder inclusive and available as an opportunity to live here and to work here for all. So that's another conversation that I think people are having more openly now. So it's not just the million-dollar houses in Chautauqua or how horrible the housing prices are here. I think people are finally starting to do something about it. For example, when I'm not working at my companies, I'm a professional cellist. So I play in the Boulder Philharmonic. I freelance all over the place. So I have a lot of musician friends who are not high-income people. Some of them do moonlight doing some coding or something like that on the side, or they decided, you know what, this musician lifestyle is not for me. I'm going to get a technical degree and go in and retraining or something like that. However, some of them are starting to be able to, for example, buy a condo in Boulder, which would have been completely unthinkable 10, 15 years ago because of all these affordable housing options, different types of ways that not necessarily the super high-income people can still get into Boulder real estate and do very well. That's a change that I think is good. I personally live in Louisville because I couldn't afford to buy a house in Boulder back in 2000. Louisville and Lafayette are all great towns to live in. So they're wonderful places. It's not a hard commute. You can ride your bike into Boulder if you want. The bus works really well there. You know, it's really easy to get to Denver from there. So that's another change. You know, Lafayette is not just a town that's way far out there. It's all part of the Boulder County.
Have you had any thoughts about how this community might look 5 years from now? You say the tech community has been growing up over the last several years. Where do you see that going? Is that going to take the fun out of it eventually and just turn us into another Silicon Valley where it's all business?
And that'll be horrible.
Or do you think that the give first accessibility mentality is really baked into the culture here, and that's something that may grow and evolve and look different, but it's still going to be there? Or how can Boulder be sure to preserve that?
So I think of it in a couple of different ways. So one is, I worked for a company that's headquartered in Santa Clara, but they acquired a startup company here in Boulder. So I was working at the Boulder subsidiary, but commuting to California once a month because I had people there as well. And the thing that always struck me when I'm there is that you go to events in the Silicon Valley area, and the different tech companies that are there, they just stick together. So you don't really, yes, you might meet somebody from Intel or Motorola or something like that. That was the industry that I was in at an event. But you never really hung out. There wasn't really a community there, partly because I think everybody was commuting in from all over the place. So there wasn't really the step back, having to drive everywhere in California, in Silicon Valley, and you spend so much time in the car. You do some of that in Boulder too. However, people ride bikes. Now you go to the farmer's market. You're with groups of people that you don't know in these communal settings. You have opportunities like that. It just feels different here because people work together. People raise kids together. I've got a couple of kids that I've raised in the area. You know, they're born and raised in Louisville, but goes to high school in Boulder. And we've always come here for events. There's a sense that Boulder is open. You can go, you know, walk up and down the path. So there are special places like that where all is welcome. You can be there, you can participate in activities. So that's sort of, the communal feeling is always here. I mean, I think the tech community certainly does reflect that, because otherwise we wouldn't have sort of this feel of Boulder Startup Week that we cherish every year. You walk around Boulder during Boulder Startup Week, you see lots and lots of people wearing the shirts, they're all going to different events, you see the same group of people, you get to know them, you have commonalities. It's such a special feeling here that I have not seen at some other events. And that's something that we try to recreate every year. And whether or not the tech companies are smaller companies getting acquired by bigger companies, or really people are just getting started, I don't think that feeling is going to change for Boulder. One example that I wanted to bring up earlier was that at CU Boulder, the entrepreneurship program and the initiatives that they have there, that's bringing more of that business discipline to the student entrepreneurs. They're getting critiqued at pitch contests and business plan contests. So all of these fundamental business concepts are getting pushed down to the younger and younger groups. So they know that's what they need to do. And that's something that didn't exist 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But they have that now. So then coming out of the university, they have a much better chance at the success because they're learning from the mistakes of the past. And so as we evolve as a tech community, I think that having that younger, yet more disciplined input into the community will only make it better because that raises the chances of the success of those businesses that are coming out. And it makes Boulder a much more interesting investment opportunity for people that are coming in.
And now that you mention it, that seems like a great way to sort of preserve this Bouldery feeling, if you will, in the tech community is from the university. I spoke with Sarah Beth Burke mm-hmm. yesterday from the Innovation Initiative, and it's really cool that they're not just preparing students for the real world, quote unquote, but they're actually building a bridge into the community that exists here right now. And so it's more of a, instead of it taking a leap, it's more of just a continuum, it seems, between the university and the tech community.
Yep. And it goes even younger too. Like one of the speakers that we have for Boulder Startup Week this year is 12-year-old Jack Bonneau of Broomfield. When he was 10 years old, he was on Shark Tank and got investment from the folks there, and he's been able to raise money since. He's got a successful enterprise. He goes on speaking tours. So he's one of our speakers at an event on Friday. And during this week, he has been able to reach out to other Boulder Valley School District schools. And he's spoken at, I think, 4 or 5 different schools. And we're just, I got an email last night from one of the assistant principals at one of the local schools that said, that was great. He's so inspirational. He was able to bring down his entrepreneurial story to a pre-K through 8th grade level. And he was able to relate to our students. So we're starting these entrepreneurs in elementary school now. And that's the reality that we live in. It's not just going to be the Bill Gates dropping out of college or Mark Zuckerberg dropping out of college. These kids are growing up in this entrepreneurial environment. So we're starting them young. And the understanding of the discipline that it's not just something that you start and then you just let it go. You know, these kids are thinking about, well, digital marketing. How do I get my product out on Facebook? How do I put together a web store? All of those things that didn't exist 20 years ago, they're doing it now in their teens.
That sounds really amazing and impressive, but at the same time, I'm also sort of like, should 12-year-olds be doing that? Shouldn't 12-year-olds be, you know, out skateboarding, riding their bikes, doing 12-year-old things, playing video games?
But these are the ambitious kids of these ambitious tech founders. And it's these kids that have watched their parents have really ambitious dreams, start companies, and build big things. So they've watched their parents do that.
Mm-hmm.
Moms and dads. So of course they're going to want to do it themselves. I think it's a natural evolution. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just interesting to me to, you know, and we'll just sort of have to see how things evolve, I guess. But before thinking of it in terms of tech, like I've talked to my 12-year-old niece, and it's very easy to forget that I'm talking to a 12-year-old. I think I'm talking to a young adult because we're having a very sophisticated conversation and she's very smart. But then she gets stung by a bee or something and it's like, oh, right, she's 12.
Yes.
And I'm just really interesting to see where that leads because that has to have some sort of impact down the road if kids are feeling inspired to start businesses, start this entrepreneurial thinking at such a young age. It just makes me wonder, you know, is this the new childhood or are we just breeding adults almost out of the womb?
Well, I think what's interesting to me is there's still the combination of the youthful optimism that they have. For example, I have a friend who's, she has her younger son who is a freshman in high school. He and a friend decided that they wanted to start a t-shirt design company. Well, For the last several years, if you were to design a shirt, there are online companies that will print it for you, set up a web store, you can set up a bank account. All of those tools are available, and you can set up a web store so your friends can browse through it and buy it on their phones. So that's a new reality.
Yeah.
This internet connectivity is everywhere, and kids get exposed to it early. We can either say, you should be running around in the fields, throwing sticks at each other, not looking at your phones. Or you can say, okay, if you're going to be on your phones all day anyway, let's make that a productive experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that too, because when I was a kid, you sold lemonade in front of your house. Yep. Or growing up in Miami, we'd collect a bunch of mangoes and then sell mangoes. And the only difference now is that there's an internet and a computer in your hand, and
you can ship those mangoes.
And you can ship those mangoes
to Cincinnati.
Exactly. So, all right.
Yeah, and it's just like with Boulder. You know, it's a natural progression of things. I don't think there's been anything that's horrible in the way that we're going or anything like that. It's just a natural progression.
Sure. I just hope that the rapid advancement of kids of getting into the business world doesn't stamp out that optimism and sense of innocence too soon. It's going to get stamped out of you.
Yeah, valid
to
point.
Some extent, but hopefully it happened. It's still, they're able to maintain that for a while.
Yeah. And I talked to some old timers that's lived in this town since the 50s, and they would say, well, when my kids were growing up, we could just put them on that ski train up at Rocky Ridge or Rocky Flats, and we'll just put them on the train. They go and ski in Winter Park for the day, and we pick them up at the end of the day, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's all good. But there are things that have improved since then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the traffic's worse. No. What can you do?
Still not as bad as Silicon Valley.
Exactly.
Yuriko Morita, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
That was Yuriko Morita, glider board member and founder of IP Fact Scout and Patents Integrated. Follow her on Twitter at IP Fact Scout. Episode number 12 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week social impact track sponsor, the City of Boulder. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by EchoDeck, that's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.